In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The reading serving as the focus for today's sermon is from Genesis chapter 30 that says, "Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, 'God has taken away my reproach.' And she called his name Joseph, saying, 'May the Lord add to me another son.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. 10 weeks ago, we celebrated the birth of a baby, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Angels sang about his birth, shepherds hurried to his manger. Wise men sought and found him. Conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And in response, we all sang, "Joy to the world." That's how it's supposed to be whenever a baby is born. It is a happy, joy-filled occasion, a cause for celebration. But tonight, we begin our Lenten journey with Joseph. And the beginning of this journey is totally joyless. Joseph's mother, Rachel, wasn't yet a mother, and it appeared that she might never be a mother. Babies were being born left and right, but not for Rachel. And you remember Rachel, don't you? It was love at first sight when Jacob first spied the beautiful young shepherdess watering her father's flock. Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, only to be deceived by his father-in-law, Laban, into marrying Rachel's sister, Leah. Jacob got to marry Rachel too, but at the cost of another 7 years of labor. Jacob and Rachel were finally together, husband and wife. First came love, then eventually came marriage. But there were no babies born to Rachel. Her sister Leah had babies, and lots of them, 6 sons and 1 daughter. In addition, Rachel's maidservant and Leah's maidservant each gave birth to 2 more sons for Jacob. Eventually, 11 babies had been born to Jacob through 3 separate women before even 1 was born to Rachel. Needless to say, these births brought no joy to Rachel. In fact, these births were a source of strife and jealousy for Rachel. Each newborn's first cry of life caused a toxic mix of anger and sorrow to well up in Rachel. Each and every baby not born to her was a bitter reminder to beautiful Rachel of her barrenness, a terrible token of what she didn't have, a baby of her own to have and to hold. Rachel's childlessness was more than just a procreation problem. It was a spiritual problem, a faith problem. Children are a gift from the Lord, and Rachel had not received that gift. It was a source of shame and emotional distress. Did it signal the Lord's displeasure with her? Was the Lord testing her faith? Why did her most heartfelt prayer seem to go unanswered? Why, Why did she feel so forsaken by the Lord? So Rachel tried to take matters into her own hands. Rachel herself gave her maid to her husband Jacob, thinking that her maid, Bilhah, could have children whom Rachel could count as her own. And this is where our lives intersect with Rachel's life. Some among us may struggle with infertility and know the heartbreak that can bring. But we all struggle with faith. You don't have to be in the business of childbirth to share in the sin of Rachel and Jacob. We all know how painful it can be when our heartfelt prayers seem to go unanswered. We all know how endless the wait can seem for those who wait for the Lord, when the hope for healing doesn't come. We all know the tragic progression from sadness to bitterness, and from bitterness to anger, and from anger to despair. In desperation, we might take matters into our own hands. We stitch together our own sinful solutions, setting God's will aside to secure the relief we so much crave. We would rather ignore the Lord's will than wait for the Lord. And in the end, we are often left with a sin-filled situation like Rachel's. A dysfunctional debacle fueled by faithless desperation. But two words from Genesis chapter 30 changed everything. God remembered. The reading says, God remembered Rachel. When all hope had dried up and faith was just dimly flickering, God remembered. God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son, and not just any son. That birth was the genesis of Joseph, the beginning of a journey that ultimately would deliver God's people and point all the way to Jesus. God remembered Rachel. But in the Bible, remembering is more than a mere recollection, especially for God. When God remembers, He acts. He intervenes. And this is all grace. For tonight, we see how God acts and works, not just for the well-behaved who wait patiently in faith. God remembered Rachel in her shameful striving. God remembered Rachel in her sin and desperation. God remembers those who feel forgotten and forsaken. And why? Because He's gracious and merciful, is slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, as we read tonight in our Old Testament reading from Joel. God remembered Rachel, and she gave birth to a son. She joyfully named the boy Joseph. That son marked the end of Rachel's shame and desperation. He was a reminder of God's remembrance and God's deliverance. The name Joseph means, may he add. Choosing that name was a confession of faith and a prayer of hope. In joyful expectation, Rachel exclaimed, may the Lord add to me another son. Another son is why you have come here tonight. God remembered Rachel with Joseph. But God has remembered you with another son. His only beloved son, Jesus. When God remembers, he takes action. And God has acted definitely for you in the person of his son. In that son is the end of your shame and desperation. In that son is the end of in deliverance from sin and death. In that son, God remembers the forgotten. That son, Jesus, was forsaken on the cross so that we will never be forsaken. God has remembered you. God has acted on your behalf for your eternal good in his son, Jesus the Christ. Though these 40 days of Lent are always a time of remembering for us. Tonight, as you heard from when you received the sign of the cross with ashes, we remember that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. We will remember throughout this Lenten season our sins and confess them, recounting all the ways that we have wandered from God's will, rejected his commandments, and refused to wait on him in faith. We will also remember the people and places of our Lord's passion, Judas' betrayal, Peter's denial, and Pilate's pandering. We will also remember Rachel's son Joseph, how his brothers betrayed him, how his faith was challenged, and all the ways he foreshadows God's own son who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. But the heart of this holy season is not our remembering, but God's. God remembered Rachel. God remembered Joseph. And in his beloved son, God remembers you. In Jesus, God is acting on our behalf. He remembers you right here in the preaching of his promises, in the cleansing of holy absolution, in the life-giving splash of holy water, in the bread that is his body and the wine that is his blood. Here God remembers you in his son, in the power of his Holy Spirit. Here the power of his passion is applied to you personally. Forgiveness for your sin and deliverance from disaster, including those of our own making. Yet, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. That invitation from the prophet Joel always goes out on Ash Wednesday. Return to the Lord. Look to him in faith, because he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You can hear that love in those three little words, yet even now. Those three little words deliver a whole mouthful of grace. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me. Even now, even after you have followed Rachel's lead and made your life into a dysfunctional debacle, even now that you have burned your bridges and hardened your heart and hurt people and hurt the people God has given you to love, God says, yet even now, it's not too late. Yet even now, he wants you back. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time of salvation. Now, yet even now, the Lord comes. He remembers you, delivers you, rescues and saves you in his only son, Jesus. So tonight, you and I begin a Lenten journey with Joseph. And our journey, like Joseph's journey, begins with God's remembering. Our journey, with like Joseph's journey, begins with God's remembering. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.